Spectacular, the unofficial Halo Universe podcast, presents episode 481, Signal Hunters, recorded live on May 7th, 2015. Hello everyone, welcome to Podtacular, the unofficial Halo Universe podcast. I'm your host, Duststorm.
And I'm your other host, Biowolf.
And we're here with Godzilla T and Hot Sauce to bring you the latest and greatest in Halo news, given we already did our Hunt the Truth stuff for the week, and we have quite a bit to talk about. We had quite a big community update on Friday from last week. We have the Hunt the Signal contest. We have Griffbaugh Hub getting fully funded for their Kickstarter. We have lots of stuff going on this week in terms of news. So we're going to just go ahead and jump straight into things. First up is the big community update that got put out last week. This is a big one. I don't think we've seen a community update quite this large other than patch notes or like the community, or not the community, the content update notes. I don't think we've gotten something this large in a while, because this thing is pretty huge.
Yeah, it's quite extensive.
It goes through the cover art puzzle that was solved, linking off to the cannon fodder article that Grim Brother One put up last week. Talks about quitting and how that affects ranks and how reputation gets factored in, how the matchmaking system adds to that reputation, how it uses reputation to match you up with people. There's a lot of details in here across a lot of different aspects of Halo right now, both the Master Chief Collection and Halo 5.
I like the detail they went in onto the quitting penalties and stuff, and you know how they're gonna track it, and you know, so that it doesn't just affect you in Halo, it affects you overall. You know, you quit enough matches, your actual reputation on Xbox One drops.
Mm-hmm. And this is something that they're still looking at, how people quitting and people betraying others in game really affects your overall reputation, because just doing it once, they're not really going to count that against your reputation. It might hurt you temporarily in matchmaking, but if you show signs that it's not really intentional, it's not going to affect your reputation at all. Whereas if you do something repeatedly over and over again, that's when it starts to hit your reputation. And they said that, or Bravo said, they're still trying to tune that and see how it really fits in with the system. And they're working really closely with Xbox Live to make sure the way that they're updating and using reputation from Xbox Live standpoint is accurately reflected in game and provides a good experience for players across the board. Unless, of course, you're one of those people that is betraying and quitting and making the bad experience, they'll get matched up with people with other similar tendencies.
Mm-hmm.
I hope it starts taking effect really quick to people to where they start learning, because I played a couple games of Big Team at last night, and people were still just falling out. Like, we had two enemy players left after last night, and after, like, 2 minutes of playing. Like, I really hope that they start enforcing different things with that. That way they kind of get healthily booted. That'd be nice.
Mm-hmm.
So I would like to see something along the lines of what they did. I think it was in Halo 3, maybe even Halo 2, where if you quit so many games, you were given a temporary timeout.
Yeah, Reach did that too, if I remember correctly.
Actually, I think it was Reach that actually did that first.
Was it Reach?
I'm pretty sure Halo 3 did it.
It may have. I never witnessed it, so.
I mean, I rarely quit, but I think after quitting three times or so, you had a 10-minute penalty or something.
Yeah. And that would be nice if they brought that back.
Well, I think as far as, you know, penalty in the game, yeah, if you quit a bunch of matches in a row, yeah, I'll give you a timeout, you know, a 20, 30-minute timeout. And if you continue to quit, then it needs to affect your your reputation.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's a good system to help keep people from doing the D-rank stuff, because, you know, if you go in and you start, you know, quitting to lose rank, it will affect your overall reputation on Xbox Live, and then you're not going to get matched with the people that do the same thing.
Yep.
You know, it's kind of an incentive not to do that. I mean, there's, you know, still, you know, nothing to keep them from not playing while they're in there, or, you know, intentionally losing, but that's a lot harder to de-rank doing it that way than just going in and playing a little bit of the match and then quitting out.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
One of the things that they mentioned, or I keep on saying they, but what Bravo mentioned in the update is they're really only looking for behavior that seems non-accidental. So just quitting one game, whether because you're just getting creamed or having or being frustrated, or you have to leave to go somewhere, or if your connection drops for some reason, they're not looking at that to really take a hit against you. It's still recorded and counted in their algorithm for tracking. But if it's just happening one time out of like 1 or 2 hours playing through, it's obviously that you didn't really mean to quit, and you're not having the nature and the tendency of quitting over and over and over again. Same thing with betrayals. Mm-hmm. And without reading the whole thing, there's two bullet points that Bravo put up regarding reputation with how quits and betrayals work. So for quitting, he says, all quits are automatically tracked and recorded. It is worth noting that we're monitoring the state of games and evaluating additional parameters to determine the severity of the quit, including how many players have already quit the match, etc. Additionally, we understand that on rare occasions, you may need to leave a game, run out of the house for an emergency, or your internet may drop, amongst other unforeseen events. If you're not an upstanding citizen, a small number of quits over a long period of time will not negatively impact your score enough to cause you to drop reputation levels. Which, that's pretty much makes sense, I think. I don't think you really need to explain that any further. As for betrayals, he says any player who betrays their teammates more than what is considered accidental behavior will also receive an automatic report and may be kicked out by the host or betrayed player. And that's something interesting to note. Similar to the above, a poorly placed plasma grenade every once in a while will not place you on the naughty list. So I wonder what he means by the host or the betrayed player. I guess the host for custom games? Because I don't think you get the option to boot somebody if you're the host in a matchmade game. I think it's just the person that's been betrayed. So I'm guessing that they're talking about custom games in that.
Yeah, because I got betrayed a lot last night due to grenades. Poorly misplaced grenades last night. I didn't get the option to boot anybody.
Grenades are dangerous.
So, yeah. Although I think these grenades were purposely placed there about 10 times each game.
I see. So Twisted seems to agree with you, Godzilla, that quitting bans didn't start until Reach. So it looks like I am mistaken and you are correct. So the other stuff that they talked about in the community update is, of course, the cannon fodder. Mentioned the whole puzzle solving thing, which that was still insane. 117 pieces at 1:17 in the afternoon Pacific time. And
yeah,
that was nuts. We'd already talked about that last week. So it was a lot of fun. We got some pretty cool wallpapers out of it. We got the obviously what was built, and then there's a couple of community ones out there for Blue Team and then Locke's team. So if you haven't checked that out, I think we posted it on Twitter. I never made a website post about it, but you can find those two images floating across the internet. They're up on Imgur, or they were posted there, and you can find them on Reddit. The Cannon Fodder also goes into a little more of the last Hunt the Truth episode, which was, at the time, episode 5, which we already talked about. So we just recorded our episode 6 analysis last night. So if you haven't checked that out yet, it'll be up tomorrow, so you can listen to that. And the Cannon Fodder also talks about Petra Janicek a little bit, the armor that you get for pre-ordering through GameStop, which is the Spartan Lock Mjolnir Hunter class armor. And then there's a little just kind of notes about the universe articles that he's been posting, Q&As that'll be coming up, and some other stuff that he's looking to do with the Cannon Fodder stuff. So you can check that out. That's last week's Cannon Fodder, and this week's just got posted today, actually. So we're running a day or a week behind just on those. So go and check those out. Also, something else that he mentioned in the content or the community update was that we had a patch for the Master Chief Collection. We're supposed to get a hot fix for the party issues, although I haven't heard anything of it coming out yet. Has anyone else heard that?
I heard earlier this morning. It looks like tomorrow is the aim date.
Okay.
Yeah, last I heard it was next week.
See, I thought it was yesterday or today. That's when I heard it was supposed to come out. So, like, apparently it's all over the place.
Beats the heck out of me. That's supposed to be addressing the party joining issues that has been hitting a lot of people with the content update that was pushed out last week. So if you're having issues joining party, it's going to be resolved here pretty soon. And there's also some stuff that he mentioned in here about matching up with levels, leveled skills. So if you go in with a mixed party of levels, it's going to widen the search parameters to fit a range of the levels that you're going in with. And they're obviously tweaking that system based on the whole quitting and betrayals and based on community feedback as well. Also, there was the Forge fix for Halo 3. There was a audio fix for Halo 3 and a lot of other little things too. If you want details of that, you can go listen to episode 479, or you can check out our website, or you can go check out the original content update or the patch notes on Halo Waypoint itself. As for playlists, we're looking at making some of the fan favorites permanent playlists. Things like SWAT, and I think Team Doubles was another popular one.
Mm.
They're looking to take some of the really popular ones and make them into permanent playlists.
Good. I've really enjoyed SWAT. I love SWAT. I mean, ever since Halo 3, I've really enjoyed it. It's playing on the Halo 2. Halo 2 is the one that seems to be pretty decent at. Although, there's some glitches in SWAT that I hope they address soon.
Oh, like what?
One of them is, like, headshots don't always count until, like, you shoot them in the throat. Like, they're not headshots. Like, they're, like, underneath their chin, it seems. Like, I don't know if, like, that's just SWAT doing that or what. But, like, that's, I've noticed that a lot in Halo 2.
Is that a hitbox issue?
I don't know. I have no idea. Like, the only thing I noticed is that it wasn't just me that noticed it. It was actually my friend that pointed it out. When we were playing SWAT on Ivory Tower, like, these kids were AFK, and we kind of tested it, and we were shooting them in the head, and it wasn't killing them. It was underneath their chin, it seemed. So I don't know if it was just a SWAT thing, because I never noticed it until SWAT.
Have you made a video and sent it to Bravo yet?
Not yet.
Maybe you should do that.
Should.
Might help point out an issue. That's interesting, though. I don't know why the hitbox would be so off on something like that. Is this just Halo 2 Anniversary, or is this other games too?
No, it wasn't. It was just Halo 2.
Halo 2? 2
itself. Yeah.
Classic.
Mm-hmm.
That's even more strange. Okay. Now there might be a bug with the hitboxes, I guess.
I don't know.
It was the same with the battle rifle and the pistol?
Mm-hmm.
Very interesting. Alrighty. Well, that's something interesting. Always find something to break.
That's what I do.
They're looking to incorporate some other maps and other playlists into the rotation as well. They're looking at updating the Team Hardcore and the HCS series playlist to have game types that have BR starts and no motion tracker. So I guess they're kind of updating those to how, like in Halo Reach, they had the MLG settings and they updated those. So it looks like for the HCS and the Hardcore, they're updating those playlists as well. We're going to be looking at, it looks like, some Action Sack and some Team Objective getting some updates as well. Team Objective is, he says, is another one of those potentially permanent playlists. And it's going to feature some new additions like Battle Creek CTF, BR Start 1 Flag, CTF on Burial Mounds for the Halo 2 side of things. And other 44 game type objectives. So, Action Sack and Team Objective are two other ones that look like are coming down the pipeline.
I can't wait to do Action Sack.
Yeah.
That would be fun.
I want to see the crazy game types they've come up with.
You could do that Halo 3, Halo 4, and Halo 2 Anniversary.
Yeah.
Those would be a lot of fun. And finally, to kind of wrap up the bottom of the community update, The May content update is still on track, and of course we're going to get Relic, ODST, and more coming this month as well. And more details will be coming out about that as they have the update get closer to release. So quite a bit of stuff this month. There is a few other things that Waypoint has posted. I think we want to touch on the cannon fodder for this week a little bit, even though we haven't really covered them that much, because the cover art for Halo Last Light, which is not the next book that's coming out, but the book after, it just got released, and we have a short description of what it's going to be, and I want to read that real quick. The description is, it is 2553 and the three-decade-long Covenant War that defined a generation has suddenly drawn to a close. Yet in the remotest parts of human space, tensions remain that threaten to overflow into another full-scale conflict. Beneath the surface of the planet Gaio lies a vast cavern system renowned for its therapeutic effects and rumored miraculous cures. But now Gaio natives are turning up brutally murdered down there. Violent acts that happen to coincide with the recent arrival of a UNSC research battalion protected by Spartan Blue Team, led by renowned Spartan 2, Fred 104. Maverick Detective Veda Lopez of the Gaio Ministry of Protection is only trying to do her job as a special inspector assigned to catch a serial killer, one who is possibly hiding within the Spartan ranks, but she never anticipates the situation spiraling out of control into an all-out crisis. When Gaio is revealed to harbor ancient foreigner technology that could solidify the UNSC's military supremacy for centuries to come, insurrectionists, loyalists within the planetary government will do anything, even align with the vicious faction of what remains of the Covenant, to ensure that never happens.
Sounds good.
Sounds pretty interesting. So this is 2553. This is the just after the events of Halo 3. So Chief isn't around, and this is happening, I guess, during the Kilo 5 trilogy, maybe even a little bit before.
I'd say a little bit before.
No, it'd have to be after the Kilo 5 trilogy.
Why?
Because isn't Fred on Onyx?
Not after Ghost of Onyx.
Yeah, he is.
They pulled them out.
Because Ghost of Onyx, they were trapped on Onyx. They didn't get off Onyx until the last book in the Kilo 5 trilogy.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
So it'd have to be after that.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. My timelines are messed up. I need to read the books again.
You're right.
After Kilo 5, that would have to be after Kilo 5. So that would be after Thursday War, right? Because I remember reading that, but I haven't read the last book.
Actually, it happened. They're rescued during...
Or was it during Glasslands?
No, they're rescued... When are they? They are rescued in the second book.
So Thursday War, yeah. Because I have read Thursday War, and I do remember it happening. I have not read Mortal Dictata yet.
Yeah, because Mortal Dictata, it deals more with the moral implications of creating the Spartans.
Gotcha. So this is after the Kilo 5 trilogy. Hey, we get some Blue Team action.
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
I guess it'll be kind of a introduction to some people of who Blue Team is who haven't read the books before. How many people do you think are interested in books now with the Hunt the Truth ARG going on that maybe didn't read the books before?
I don't know. That's a good question, because there's a lot of friends that I know that weren't really, they're more casual. They didn't really care about, you know, the lore or books or anything like that. But now that I kind of show them, they didn't even know about the Hunt the Truth thing that was going on. Like, they just play the games and kind of leave from the story from there. But I kind of showed them that, and they're like, so where does this lead into, and things like that. I kind of told them how things were going, and they're looking to get into the books now, which is interesting enough. So from that, my standpoint, I would say people are more looking forward to looking to get into the books a little bit more, especially when Halo 5 is coming out, to learn a little bit what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
So I would think more people would want to be looking into it.
I think people are interested, but I don't know how many people will actually take the time to actually read it. And that's my biggest concern personally.
The other thing I'm interested in too, though, is how many people that have, or what do people think that listen to the Hunt the Truth stuff but have never read the books? Like, they're basically kind of living within the universe themselves because they really don't know any of this outside fiction of where John really came from, all of that. So it'd be interesting to see how people who have never read any of the novels or know any of that external fiction have perceived the Hunt of Truth podcast and their revelations to what Ben is finding out through the podcast. I would love to have someone on the show who is listening to Hunt the Truth but has never read any of the books and get their feel on how this is going, because that's a luxury that we don't have as being big Halo enthusiasts, because we know a lot of the details there is to know within the Halo universe. Granted, we're not super smart like Grim Brother One, and I don't think we'll ever be, but it's just a perception that we can't have. So it'd be awesome to get somebody on here who has that perception, who has that experience of actually living within the universe like these characters are in Hunt the Truth, and see how their reaction is.
I wonder if my friend would honestly be interested in talking about that, because he's listening to it now and he hasn't read any of the books, and he's looking for or forward to reading the books.
Mm-hmm.
So it'd be interesting to see if we could get him on to talk before he starts getting into them, to see where his ideas go.
Yeah.
Like, from, that'd be interesting to see.
And if anyone out there knows of people who would be willing to talk about it on the podcast that haven't read the books but are listening to Hunt the Truth, please send them our way, because we would love to get their perspective on what they think is going on, get their theories, and overall just see how viewpoints differ between those who are hardcore Halo fans versus those that are just kind of going along. They play the games and they're all of a sudden getting this interest because of like people either talking about it or they're finally actually more interested in the story. So if anyone has anybody that fits that description, please send them our way, because we would love to talk to them.
I'd like to know how many, I don't know if there's any way to track this, but how many unique viewers there are to the Hunt the Truth website. You know, how many hits is that website getting a day?
And how many downloads is it getting on iTunes?
Yeah. Well, no, I mean just the website itself.
No, and I'm saying in addition to it, it would also be cool to see how many downloads they're getting, whether through SoundCloud or iTunes.
Yeah. Well, see, I think on iTunes you can probably see that, can't you?
I don't think iTunes specifically. You can get host stats that will tell you what's been downloaded and how many times. So there's ways to get it.
I'm sure SoundCloud has something similar to it, but it'd just be really interesting to see what the numbers are on, you know, on this.
I agree. I completely agree. That's one of those things that's, given that there's only a small population that is really interested in the campaign story, it'd be interesting to see how big that population actually is.
Mm-hmm.
Personally, I mean, I use iTunes for all podcasts I listen to through my iPod, but it's weird because I use SoundCloud more than I would use it for iTunes. Like, I think the experience is a little bit better on SoundCloud than iTunes, because you can see people's messages and different things like that.
Mm-hmm. So that's something from this week's Cannon Fodder that I wanted to pull out. And there's also a little hint at the Hunt the Truth stuff, just kind of recapping on what happened this week. And there was also Hunt the Signal that came from the podcast this week as well. If you listen to episode 6, you would have, or if you actually listened past the outro music, you would have heard something that sounded like Morse code, which actually was a spectrogram that led to stolengauntlet.com. That went to a YouTube video for an ad that looked like a Ford commercial, 15 seconds long, but also had the same distortions that the Xbox UK video that came out about a week ago had. That led us to huntthesignal.com. It also had a segment from the Bullet trailer with Stolen Gauntlet under the bullet as well. Nothing new there, really, in terms of content within the video. Just a lot of the same stuff, but something important to note, and we actually talked about this last night on our Hunt the Truth episode, but this commercial with the disruptions in it was actually shown in movie theaters for the Avengers previews in some places from what we've seen people post on Twitter and Facebook and stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, like I said, I seen the lock trailer during when I seen it. Actually, my friend seen both of them. Now that I'm thinking about it, he went to the same movie theater I went to, and they had both trailers, Lock and Chief live action trailer. So it's interesting.
Quite interesting.
I think I might have to sneak out and see the Avengers this weekend.
So I have one more episode that I need to watch of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. before I can go see the movie. I've been told that if you like watch the TV show and the movie, you need to watch up to a certain part in the TV show, then go see the movie, and then see the episode afterwards because it flows. And there's stuff that that's in the TV show that gets referenced in the movie. Now, I don't think it's something where you have to see the TV show in order to understand the movie stuff, but there's stuff from the TV show that feeds into the movie if you watch the TV show. So I have one more episode to watch of that, and then I'm probably going to go see the movie next week at some point.
Nice, nice. It's a good movie.
I really have to admit, I've already watched it. It's on YouTube.
What is the movie?
Yep.
Already? Wow.
Somebody has already got it on YouTube.
Did not get taken down yet?
No.
Wow.
What they do is they distort the sound so that the software doesn't pick up on it. Like they'll slow the audio down or change the rate that the movie plays. Don't get me wrong. It is not the way to watch a movie. I just happened to find it, and I watched it because I was curious, but it definitely takes away from the movie experience, but it did make me want to go see it in theaters. And that's something for me, because there's very few movies I feel that I get my money's worth when I go to a theater.
Same for me. One of those movies, Interstellar. I went and saw that twice in theaters.
See, I've never seen Interstellar. I heard a lot of different things about it.
It's so good.
One of the movies that I did see in IMAX, like if you ever get to go to an IMAX theater, do it. Like especially the one that was down here in West Palm. It has moving seats and different things like that. It was really unique. Like I never seen had an experience like that. But one of the movies I seen was The Dark Knight. In IMAX, and that was really good. I went to go see it twice, and I never usually go to see a movie twice. I usually just wait, but that was really good.
One movie that I only got to see once just because it was at the end of the theater runs was Guardians of the Galaxy, but the week it came out, I watched that movie 6 times.
Holy it was a good movie, I'll give you that.
I even put it on my work phone and watched it, or had it on the background at work. Because I was just like that into it. I love it. It's like the perfect mix of action, comedy, seriousness. It just worked for me.
Yeah. Well, I like how, you know, this is a little bit of a spoiler, but you will enjoy Avengers more after watching Guardians.
Yep.
Because they do tie together.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, I heard that they're going to start tying both of those together. And
well, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
have already really done that, because Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. have already brought the Kree into that universe.
Mm-hmm. There's a deeper meaning there, or deeper connection, let's put it that way. I won't spoil it for you.
I don't doubt it. The other thing about the little video, the Ford commercial thing, is the YouTube poster. It goes by the name of Char Eldi, which is actually an anagram for Dr. Halsey, which is not likely a strange coincidence. Likely intentional.
Oh, yeah.
I want to meet the people that come up with these twisted freaking clues. They've got to have, they just got to be totally screwed in the head.
Oh, dude, they'd make my brain hurt. Like it's, I've actually have a friend that is like that. In the you could take two topics and he could combine like two completely opposite topics. He could combine like Call of Duty and Halo and find somewhere along the lines of how they intermingle. Like it's weird. Like I know how people like that kind of work. So it's interesting. I'll give them that. It's an interesting story to go off of.
The weird thing about this though is there's a weird association with Stolen Gauntlet, because if anyone has done the Hunt the Signal contest yet, which we'll kind of dive into more detail here in just a little bit. But for the first chapter, for the first transmission, there's something in there talking about we're being requested to do this thing by Stolen Gauntlet or something. I'll pull up the text real quick. But having StolenGauntlet.com and then Dr. Halsey in like being the one that posted the video, that's kind of a strange coincidence. I'm not exactly sure where that really fits in, but the line for it's actually transmission zero, sorry. The text is, "My name is Jameson Locke. You are a non-volitional AI created for the purpose of determining vulnerabilities of Mjolnir combat armor per Stolen Gauntlet. A red alert failsafe in the event that any Sierra asset were to operate subversively outside mission parameters and operations protocol. Complete your tasks discreetly." Stolen Gauntlet is mentioned in there, and the only other reference to Gauntlet I could find in Halo canon from Halo Wikia from the Halo Nation was Gauntlet Team, which was a Spartan 3 team in New Alexandria covering evacuations of the city, but that's about it. So I don't know if there's any other real connections to Gauntlet or the term Stolen Gauntlet other than what we just got from the Hunt the Signal stuff. But if Jameson Locke is saying that you're determining vulnerabilities per Stolen Gauntlet, this failsafe event, why is that being referenced in the video possibly posted by Dr. Halsey? Anyone think about that?
Nah. Apart from right this second, no. I don't know. It's a good question.
Still trying to figure out how, you know, where Halsey is in the universe. How the heck is she posting videos?
I'm sure she has her ways.
She's using her data pad, obviously.
Of course. Penns actually did find on some website, that the Tumblr page has had 118,772 unique visitors.
Is that like a Tumblr stat you can get?
No, this is a website that Penns linked to.
Compete.com. Yeah, I don't know how noteworthy any of those are without really going into actual raw like statistics.
Yeah.
From the website, I don't know how those really work.
Well, I don't think that, you know, they may not be that accurate, but still, you know, that it's got to be at least in the ballpark.
I suppose, yeah.
It's a lot of freaking people.
That's quite a bit.
It's a little bit.
The Hunt the Signal stuff, I guess we can go ahead and get into that. Since we got the announcement from last, what was it, Friday? Is that when it started peeking out? Well, no, it would have been Sunday because of the Hunt the Truth episode. Yeah, what am I thinking about? Anyways, it linked to a countdown at huntthesignal.com, and then Wednesday morning is when the countdown ended. And we knew from a little bit earlier in the day on Sunday or Monday that there was actually a terms and conditions. So we knew that it was actually a contest, and the contest portion is you and three of your friends are supposed to be solving these puzzles that get put up every now and then. We thought it was daily, but nothing has shown up today since it started yesterday. So it's probably just on a fairly consistent basis, maybe every week, something like that. But you solve these puzzles. And you actually have to coordinate these puzzles together. So you have to do certain actions all at the same time, everyone in your team of four. And once you get that done, you complete the puzzle. And what we saw was a URL that had been encrypted. And we found out from people, from the smart people of Reddit, that it was a Caesar cipher based off of the chief's birthday. And then we found five different images that, get ready, we're doing another puzzle. Like, we just didn't have to spend a lot of time doing one, but we're having more puzzle pieces to pick it together.
I like this, though. The fact that you have to kind of work together as a team to get these out, like, kind of put these out, it's interesting. We haven't seen anything like this before. I mean, we've seen some unique things pop up for different games, but I like this a little bit more than I've seen before.
I just don't want to do puzzles over and over and over again, like piecing them together.
Oh, I don't have a problem with it. I love puzzles.
We did it once. I don't think you need to do it again.
Well, actually, you know, technically, we didn't do anything.
I'm talking about we as in the community.
Yeah, I know. I think this, I don't think these puzzle pieces are going to be the size of the, you know, the box art thing.
I doubt it.
But it's kind of an interesting way of doing it because the way they're talking to you, it's like you're an AI. And you are trying to decipher a weakness in the armor. So that means you need to look at the diagram of the armor, and they're giving you the diagram in pieces.
I have had a conversation with one of my buddies last night. He goes, would you honestly want your face in Halo? Like, that's something that he really asked. Like, and it's kind of makes me wonder. It's like, how would they use it? I think that's what scares me a little bit more. It's like, where is your face going to be put up?
You get put on a flood form.
Oh, man.
Oh, I imagine they'll probably do like they did a lot of the other people and just, you know, you'll be on some random Marine.
I have a feeling you're going to be a fire team because it's a team of four, and we have Blue Team, which is a team of four. We have Locke's team, which is a team of four. I have a feeling you're going to be a fire team. You're going to be a Spartan fire team. Somehow in the game.
Yeah, pretty cool.
That's possible, yeah.
Maybe if it's an extension of Spartan Ops, maybe you're the new squad that Spartan Ops is going to follow.
Oh, I don't know. Man.
I mean, don't get me wrong. It'd be cool.
I mean, why not, though?
It's possible. It's possible.
Yeah, but wouldn't they have your voice in there, too? I mean, well, they don't have to. But,
I mean, look at Ben Giro. In the comics, he's a white dude, but he's acted by a black guy. No, I'm
it's true.
I'm just being completely factual. I'm not being judgmental.
I understand. No, it's interesting to see. One of my friends actually had a theory as to somewhere along the lines have it on a poster. I don't like a billboard or something, kind of like a shout out in a way. I thought that was pretty cool. I like the whole fire team thing a little bit better, but.
Yeah, I was kind of thinking more of, you know, more along the lines of an Easter egg type deal.
Yeah.
I think it could very well be a fire team because they're, I mean, why else would you stress a team of four? And you see a team of four in the Hunt the Truth puzzle that we did for the Halo 5 cover art. You see two teams of four there.
Yeah. I mean, they could still do that in a picture. Just, you know, basically put you, you know, like a promotional. You know, a promotional poster for the Spartans and, you know, use your faces on the Spartan models in the poster. You know, don't get me wrong. I love the idea of it being an actual playable Spartan team, but, or as far, you know, in cutscenes, stuff like that. But, you know, as far as playable character, you're not going to see the face anyway, because you're behind a helmet.
Right. To me, it'd be awesome because I know apart from the Halo community itself and everybody that I talk to online, I know a lot of family members and like actually my uncle plays Halo, which is really weird. Like he actually has some kind of idea what's going on, but it'd be interesting to see like people's reactions to see like their actual face on there. Like it'd feel weird to me.
I want my face morphed into like the Didax face. Like just combine the two. That'd be awesome.
Have like red.
And then a helmet like closes over it so people don't have to stare at it anymore. Good times.
Vampire.
So you want you want the vampire fangs, huh?
No, I would have like reverse vampire fangs. So like I just want bottom ones that come up to the top of my mouth.
So you want saber tooth?
Yeah. Sweet. I would bite Spartans.
Wow.
Oh my god.
It's like find Locke and then like bite his head and then just rip it off. Pop my jaw out like a python.
Okay, getting a little graphic.
I mean, before we get off topic, I think it is pretty cool that they're going out for fans, Halo fans, to be a part of the Halo franchise. I think that's pretty awesome. Like, we haven't seen that before. I mean, like, we've seen community creations and stuff like that, like Lethbridge Industrial and things like that. But the fact that anybody can be a part of it is pretty unique.
And I have a feeling I guess we're going to see this go up to E3 as well, because it's pretty much in tandem with Hunt the Truth, or it seems like it's pretty much in tandem with Hunt the Truth, with A being Hunt the Signal and B it got teased in Hunt the Truth. If this is a week to week thing, I think we'll see this basically go up till E3.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I just wonder what, you know, what their end reveal is for Hunt the Signal.
It's obviously going to play into Halo 5 somehow. If we're looking at armor ways to infiltrate and weaken the armor, right?
It's going to be, I just kind of got this creepy feeling about where it's going to end, where we're giving, you know, Locke the key to defeat Chief.
Well, referring to a previous podcast, you might as well just kill off Master Chief because he's not that important.
Oh my God. Are you really going to bring this up?
Yes.
Let it go.
I'm just going to leave that comment alone.
Well, you brought it up.
Let's move on, shall we? So the first puzzle we didn't really quite touch on, but it was a series of dots or buttons in a way, and everyone had to hold down two separate sets of buttons, and that was part of the first puzzle. And then we were given five different pieces of, I guess Godzilla's theory is the best one I've heard so far, so a schematic of some kind of system design of the Mark IV or the Mjolnir armor, and we're waiting to see what puzzle number two is. Unfortunately for the Hunt the Signal stuff, though, is you have to have a team of four. You can't have any more than four. So if you're interested in joining along, you can still join up. I don't think there's really a deadline on when you can join. But if you head over to huntthesignal.com/team, you can register for an account and you can join a team. A lot of people on Reddit and some other forums are trying to get teams going for those who don't have a team yet. For us four on the staff, we're obviously on our own team, but if you're looking for people to get in teams with, there's a lot of public groups out there. There's a lot of people just asking for people to join. And once you have four, that's when you go and start solving the puzzles yourself. So if you haven't gotten on that yet, go do it. I covered all the stuff for Hunt the Truth or Hunt the Signal, right?
Hunt the Signal, yeah.
Yeah, that's pretty much it.
Okay, I thought I did. Just wanted to make sure before we moved on to the next thing I wanted to talk about. Griffball Hub got funded for the Kickstarter. I know we mentioned this a lot on Twitter, and we mentioned this elsewhere. But yeah, GriffCon got funded. It didn't quite reach the first stretch goal, but they are going to have a booth there. They are going to have the tournament, and the Griffball team that wins the Griffball tournament, I think, walks away with a $1,000 cash prize. I think that's right. It's either $1,000 for the team that wins, or it's $1,000 split among the top three. But I think it's just $1,000 to the top team. So basically $250 per person, which is still pretty cool. If you're heading out to RTX, you should definitely drop by the Griffball Hub booth. They were one of the first ones that you walked into last year, and I have a feeling it's going to be very similar this year. But weren't they using more of the convention center this year?
I think so, yeah. They're kind of expand. Well, no, I take that back. They're expanding into other hotels. Like they're at.
That's right.
They're going to be in the hotel I was in last year, and they're going to be in.
That's for panels. That's not for the show. Is it for panel? Yeah, I'm guessing it's for the panels, not the expo hall.
Okay, I just know that they're expanding to that. I don't think they specified exactly what it was, but I think they're going to be doing a little bit more with the expo itself this year. But that was my first sight into the expo last year, which was really neat. I seen the 405th playing some Griff. That was awesome.
There were lots of different kind of communities that were there playing Griff ball.
Mm-hmm.
I think even some of the 343 folks came by and played a little bit of Griff ball.
Yeah, wasn't Neighbor there? I think Neighbor was there, if I remember correctly. Neighbor and Ghost.
I know Ghost would have run by there. I'm not sure about Neighbor. But yeah, it was last year one of the first booths you walked into, so it had a lot of foot traffic going through there.
Oh, yeah.
A lot. So check that out if you're at RTX. We'd like to see you there. That'll be kind of one of the main points. I'll be hovering around taking pictures and whatnot, so you'll see me there. You actually see all of us at RTX.
Mm-hmm.
make sure you come say hi.
I'll be around. Yeah, we'll be around there.
Hi.
We got some pretty special stuff coming up too. We're not quite ready to make some announcements, but we did submit a panel for our 10-year anniversary, and we are going to have some of the original Podtacular staff there as well for the panel.
Exciting stuff.
Yeah.
Just seeing all the old guys come and
I know.
And talk.
Unfortunately, weekend passes have now sold out. I believe all day passes are still available. So if you're planning
on...
am I wrong?
Friday, I think they... Or Saturday, I think they sold out.
Yikes.
If I remember correctly. I think Saturday sold out too. Let me check. Hold on.
Dang it. I submitted our panel for Saturday. Maybe I can request it for Friday. We'll see. But you'll want to be there. And there's another reason you'll want to be there as well, which I'll make an announcement on that a little bit later. But yeah, if you have the chance to come to RTX, please do. Check out Griffball Hub. Check out Podtacular. We'll be celebrating 10 years of the podcast in existence, which is crazy. And I've been here for 7 of those.
Yeah, right around RTX, actually, is when I joined up on Podtacular, which is pretty cool.
Yep.
Since they're kind of going in August instead of July, actually. So that's pretty, it's pretty cool.
Yeah.
To kind of celebrate the 10-year anniversary around my year anniversary being on.
Yeah. The anniversary itself won't be during RTX. It's technically the week before, but it's close enough.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We'll call it good.
Well, yeah, it's good enough for us. Another Griffball news, something that Bravo posted today up on the Waypoint blog, is that the Griffball Pro Circuit, I think this is spring season, technically. The playoffs are next week. So in the Hammer Conference, and they split off into two different conferences for this season. There's the Hammer Conference, which is for teams, legitimate strategy and hybrid theory. And then the Sword Conference is one-hit wonders and retroactive. And those are going to be played on Tuesday, March 12th, or May 12th, and Wednesday, May 13th, respectively, 10 p.m. Eastern Time. And then the finals, the championship, whoever are the two winning teams out of both of those, will be played on Wednesday at 10 following, so on May 20th. And hopefully it's not another two-hour Griffball bash. That's the longest game that they've had ever that they streamed was 2 hours.
That's crazy.
Can you imagine playing one game of Halo for 2 hours? I mean, I did it back.
Apart from Big Team Battle now. Like, Big Team Battle, like, you could go on for a pretty decent time if there was no time limit. But that's the only
thing. Oh, you had CTF on, Blood Gulch.
Yeah.
Right. Well, that's Big Team, basically. If you're playing Blood Gulch on 4v4... Wait, you're telling me that you played Blood Gulch 4v4 for more than 2 hours?
Uh-huh.
Whoa.
Are you right in the head? What the... That's... Wow. I guess major props to you, dude.
Let's put it this way. We had a couple of guys there that were really good with the sniper.
I see.
Like, they were peeling people out of warthogs.
Wow. Add an hour and a half round on Zanzibar in a 4-round one bomb in Halo 2.
Mm-hmm.
That was when sudden death lasted forever. Oh. I held the bomb for an hour and a half right underneath Camo Tower by the dumpster, and people would just jump right over me, thinking like I was out on the seawall. I just kicked it there forever, and then they all went seawall, and we didn't kill them on purpose. I walked in and I armed it and we won the game. It was awesome.
Wow.
We were getting spanked too. It was awesome.
Where are those days of Halo?
Those are dead. I'm going to be honest. Those are so dead.
That's why LAN parties need to be revived.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's like the perfect story for a LAN party.
Yeah, unfortunately, everybody I know that would want to go to a LAN party are in different states.
Well, hey, come to RTX.
Oh, we definitely have to do the achievement on Bloodline while we're there.
Wait, what achievement? Huh? What achievement?
Complete a capture the flag match, 4-person split screen on Bloodline.
Oh, I forgot that was one. Yeah, we'll have to do that. And we'll have to do... At some point, we need to do our laser runs. We still got to do that.
You can't make me.
Okay, we'll get someone else to fill for you.
How about I leave my controller on the desk and you guys play for me?
Nope.
You guys just walk me through it. I'll be in there somewhere.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're going to be the one dying.
One random elite. Yeah, there'll be a random elite that comes around and kills you.
Right.
I'll wear an overshield the entire time.
Just, no, you're going to man up and do it.
No.
Pansy.
Yes.
We'll find the fourth. I'm sure there'll be someone else in the chat room who'd be willing to step up. Awkward silence. Next thing I wanted to bring up was something that got posted on Polygon last week. And I've been actually meaning to make a post about it. I just got lazy and didn't. We made a tweet about it, but this guy made... So, you guys remember the Halo diorama thing, right?
Mm-hmm.
This is pretty much the next best thing. And I'll link this in the Twitch chat as well. But this is a fan-made diorama of some... I think it was some place specifically. Let me read through the article. No, not quite, but it's kind of like on the same similar style, and it's Halo 3 assets. It's kind of like this cliffside, and it has two banshees going into a cave. It has explosions. It has a missile pod, has a hornet, and like this thing is legit.
Mm-hmm. The funny thing is he's got falcons on one side and hornets on the other.
Yeah. So Halo 3 and Reach.
So it's not. Yeah, it's not. It's, you know, it's all Halo asset, but
right.
It looks awesome. I spent about 10 minutes looking at it when it popped up, you know, downloading all the, you know, high-res images and really looking at it. And man, I wish I had that kind of patience.
I know, because this thing is just utterly amazing. It's a 4x6 foot display, 4x6 feet, and has a
massive,
has a canyon on the backside with banshees and falcons and hornets and warthogs, and I mean, it kind of
explosions.
It's kind of like High Ground in a way, or at least it has a similar vibe to that with the sniper tower and the some of the other things in there. But like this thing is just amazing, and he uses the McFarlane Micro Ops figures in here.
Got a couple of those,
and this thing is just like awesome.
It doesn't cease to surprise me how much time people put into something like this and it turning out awesome. Like, one of the coolest things that I really want to see is the diorama of Halo 3, of the trailers that they used for that, like the little statues and all that. But like some of the stuff that people come out, it's like it's almost in some cases better because it's unique looking. It's really, really awesome what people come up with.
Well, the Halo 3 diorama was disassembled, wasn't it?
Yes.
Was it?
Yeah.
It's in pieces.
Wow. I mean,
it's spread between Microsoft Studios and Bungie.
Yeah. I saw
it. Fans have a piece of it. Some fans have pieces of it.
Yeah.
Oh,
one of the guys on YouTube, you know, this relates to Destiny, but they took a tour of Bungie, and I thought I saw a piece of it on display.
It is definitely there. I can confirm that.
Something he can confirm.
Which is...
Yay!
Yay! Which, you know, it's a sad thing, and it's a great thing all at the same time. I mean, it's, you know, great that fans got a piece of the diorama, but it's also sad to see that it was broken up.
Well, I mean, just the amount of detail that was into it was just unbelievable. I mean, if there was... I really wish it would be one piece. I would really want to see that. You could see pieces of it, but it's not the whole thing. And I don't know. That really does suck. I mean, it's cool for the people that have the pieces in the community to be like, I got a piece of something that everybody wants. You know, like it's not often you can get a piece of history from something you love so much.
Well, you know, that's why I said it's a good and a bad thing. It, you know, it's good that, you know, there's people out there that that, you know, appreciate it, and, you know, they have that piece of the Halo, you know, of Halo history. But all in that same sentence, it's sad to see them cut up this, you know, beautiful piece of art, which was absolutely enormous. But, you know, it's still, seeing it in its completed, or, you know, its complete state, it was just, it was awe-inspiring.
Didn't it take something like 3 months to make?
Something like that. I've heard.
Probably.
It's been a while since I watched the video on it.
Yeah, me too.
I got the video still on my Xbox 360 downloaded. Like, I never got rid of them. They're still there.
Do you remember the interactive experience that you could go online to Halo3.com and see the details and every little, like, all the major pieces? That was...
I wonder if that's still on Bungie's website.
Was that Bungie thing? Because I thought that was, like, go to Halo3.com, and now Halo3.com I don't think really redirects to that site anymore. I think that was basically taken down.
Yeah. That was... Everything from the old days is pretty much gone, unless, like, there's a YouTube video of it somewhere. I mean, I'm sure...
Well, I haven't tried recently, but...
Archive.org?
You could still... If you had an old link to your, like, you know, someone's profile, you could still access, you know, your metal chest and all that on the Bungie site. But, you know, there's not a direct link on it anymore.
Hmm.
You know, like, I've got an old link of, you know, my profile that, you know, I can click on it. Well,
that's Bungie.net, though. Halo3.com is something completely different.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, that's... I thought it was on the Bungie site as well.
I don't think so. I'm pretty sure it was just Halo3.com.
I don't know. It would just... It makes me wonder what it would look like today, though, if it was a site. Because back then, it wasn't, like, anywhere near, like, high definition. Like, imagine if they ran that in 4K and see even more detail they put into it. Like, that'd be crazy.
Mm-hmm. You know what's interesting?
Oh, man, I lost my link.
Uh-oh.
Oh, well.
You know what is really interesting is Halo.com doesn't go to anything Halo-related.
Doesn't it go to, like, a fish or, like, a boat?
Some kind of store. Like, yeah. Like,
yeah.
It's really weird.
I actually have one of their lights, believe it or not, for one of our boats. But yeah, no, that's interesting. It really makes me wonder if 343 would ever do anything like that.
Promotional products.
Well, no, I'm saying something like a diorama of that scale.
No, I'm saying that's what Halo.com goes to, sorry.
Oh.
So like stationaries, mugs, bags, pins, all that kind of stuff.
Stuff that has no correlation.
Pretty much. I wonder how much traffic they get because of Halo.
I bet you they get quite a bit.
Anyways, I just thought that was interesting. Tangent over. And Halo.net doesn't go anywhere either. The next thing to bring up is a video that got released from an interview that was done at EGL's Battle of Europe last year during the Season 1 ACS tourney schedule. And... there are quite a few quotes that got pulled from this video in a few different places. And Frankie talks about some of the development for the Master Chief Collection and how Halo 2 Anniversary was really designed to bring back a lot of the similarities from Halo 2 into the competitive scene for Halo again. And one of the things he mentioned was how quickly a lot of the Halo pros who were good in the day back in Halo 2 were able to quickly pick up the controls and the feel for Halo 2 Anniversary, which I find that pretty interesting because they feel like different games to me. I don't know about you guys, but they have their distinct differences to me.
Absolutely. Yeah, no, definitely.
Aside from the graphical fidelity and obviously the interactive elements, of course, but
well, yeah, the two game engines play differently. You know, the feeling of the movement, the hitboxes, and you know, then you throw the 60 frames per second in there, and it really alters, you know, the way that you play the two games. You know, for me, the biggest adjustment for me was, you know, the higher frame rate, and it's something that I've noticed. And you know, I noticed it, you know, when I started playing Halo 2 on PC, because you know, I was able to run it at, you know, 1080p 60 frames per second, which it made a huge difference in how I perceived the game. So, and plus, you know, you're running, you know, in Anniversary, you're running, you know, a hybrid game engine, which, you know, is not going to react exactly the same as the Halo 2 engine. So I could see where people could see differences there. But the fact that he made the comment that the pro players picked it up so quickly, I mean, that's why they're pro players.
Yeah, very true. One of the big things that people took away from this was Frankie saying the Master Chief Collection was a black eye to them. And it's obviously something that they'll not just like push aside. They'll take that as kind of a lessons learned type of thing. And they're still looking to fix the Master Chief Collection to be the game that people deserve. Of course, we've mentioned this on the podcast before, and he just kind of reiterates the complexity, just kind of how outrageous even something like the Master Chief Collection is when you have five different teams working on five different games and pulling it together into one product. He even comes and reiterates the fact that stuff that they saw in testing, they were not expecting in the retail environment. Yeah. People can not believe that all day long, but it's pretty evident that the stuff that they saw during testing, which I still kind of question it, but the fact that they've said it over and over again, I kind of believe them. And especially knowing some of the people that work for 343, I tend to believe them. It's like, how can your test environment be so not a representation of retail environment? I just don't get that. How does Xbox mess up that much?
I don't know. Like, that's kind of the reason why.
And that's not to rat on Xbox or 343 specifically, but in my mind, from development that I've done, like software development and whatnot, and granted, I haven't really done anything with networks, especially something as complex as Xbox Live, but in my little experience that I've had, I just don't see how something can be that different. I understand that like test environments versus retail environments are obviously different because of mass amounts of numbers. And I actually deal with that exact same thing with the kind of work that I do. But I just, how is it that drastically different?
I don't know. I mean, that's the reason why I'm kind of leaning towards where they do some sort of stress test for Halo 5. You know, if they're learning from that lesson, and they kind of didn't see something within that, they should definitely try to make it to where it doesn't happen again. Now, I'm not saying that it will, but if that one mess up, that one little thing that could have helped the MCC launch so much better than what it did, if that happens again, something's up. Because doing that twice, like it just I don't know how it would be that much different from retail. Like you said before, like the massive amounts of traffic and numbers and everything like that, that's one thing, but it's like they need to prepare for that.
Well, you know, one point that Frankie brings up in the interview, and you know, this is directly regards to Halo 5 and all the problems they had with Master Chief Collection and, you know, what they expect out of Halo 5 is, you know, he basically, you know, they took four games that were developed for an older console and drug it kicking and screaming to the new console.
I love that analogy that you used for that.
Yeah, I mean, it's the truth.
Yeah, I mean, know.
One game you're bringing back from two consoles ago.
That didn't even have Live.
Exactly. Yeah. But, you know, the point he was making was Halo 5 is being developed from the ground up to be on this console. You know, they're not trying to, you know, the way I took it is they've completely redesigned the game engine for the Xbox One. They're going to be doing, you know, a totally new matchmaking setup to take full advantage of the dedicated servers for, you know, matchmaking and custom games. And, you know, I can see that. I can see where bringing an old game to a new platform could be problematic.
Right.
The code was never designed to run on this operating system.
Correct. It is what it is. And one of the things that people will either kind of sit back and accept or they won't. I hope people do accept it because at least for us, it definitely seems that they're trying to be as transparent with this as they possibly can.
People will never be satisfied with the answer that they get. You know, there's always going to be people out there saying, you know, there was more to it than what There really is, and they're not going to shed every single light. So why would they? Why would they? You know, it's they gave us a broken game, different things like that. So it's people are going to take it for what it's worth. I feel, and we all feel that it's, you know, that is what's going on. And that's what happened. But there's other people, voices in the community that don't necessarily think so.
Yep. And those are just the voices that we have to kind of push through and support Halo going forward. Another thing that he said that you kind of already touched on, Godzilla, is that they don't see Halo 5 really taking the same kind of hits that the Master Chief Collection did, because it is a brand new team and being built for this console specifically. So we even saw how much better the matchmaking worked for Halo 5 Guardians Beta over the Master Chief Collection. So the fact that a beta worked better than the product...
But they weren't using the servers that we're going to be using at launch.
No.
That was peer-to-peer, if I recall, in Halo 5. That wasn't dedicated servers, if I recall.
I don't remember hearing them say it was peer-to-peer.
I'm not sure.
I may have to double-check, but...
I thought that was cloud-hosted. I thought it was.
The only thing that I can say from that is that it was a hell of a lot better than what we got with Master Chief Collection.
Oh, yeah.
Like 100 times. But the one thing I will say, though, that a lot of people seem to have trouble with is NAT issues. Because when one NAT is incompatible with the other, and I don't know how this is going to be when it launches, for some reason it crashed the multiplayer every time that there was incompatible NATs. And it made, like Josh said, you know, we were investigating it because like I was having the biggest problem out of all. You know, like me and Duquesne couldn't, you know, team up. I mean, me and Haas got into a couple of games and then someone else joined in that had a different NAT type and then just completely booted me out completely. So it makes me wonder how that's going to get fixed. That's the only issue that I honestly seen in the beta. Apart from that, it was almost, I'm not going to say flawless, but it was almost where it should be as a full game. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I experienced some game crashes and, you know, being kicked out of lobbies and stuff like that. But, you know, it was completely playable.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, it was, you know, when you got into games, it was all you had to worry about was playing a game. You didn't have to worry about, you know, dropping out or I honestly don't think I played a game where I experienced lag anywhere with any of the players.
Yeah.
Or, you know, on the 360 and in the Master Chief Collection, you see it quite frequently.
Yeah, people are floating and flying across the
map. You know, the guy you're shooting is blinking across the map.
Yeah, it's...
With what they put out for the beta, I'm not as worried about the Halo 5 multiplayer as I was right after the Master Chief Collection launched.
Yeah. Halo 5, the multiplayer was fun. I will say that much right now. It was a blast. Like when I play MCC, we wait in the lobby for a while until things get sorted out, and then we get in, and then boot you right back. And then, like at least with Halo 5, you get booted. You know, you go to the main screen, do whatever you got to do, come back, go in, play another match in a matter of seconds. It seemed, and it was awesome. Like if we get that experience during its first days without any crashes, a lot of people would be flocking back to Halo, maybe for the simple fact that they don't want to deal with the Master Chief Collection.
I think I'll still come back to Master Chief Collection, even though I've tweeted it out before. I believe Halo 5 has a chance to be the highest praised Halo of all time.
It has the potential has more potential in being more.
I mean, it's up to preference because You can't get a room of 10 people to come together to all agree on what the best Halo was and the order. But I think Halo 5 just has this feeling behind it right now. And regardless of what Master Chief Collection has been to this point, I think the future is very, very bright.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure. I mean, from the multiplayer experience that we got, granted, there's going to be some changes. You know, they said that there was going to be some changes, and we know what those are. And if they deliver that same multiplayer experience that I received in the beta, I'm satisfied. I'm more than satisfied, because like when I was playing that, I want Halo 4 and people are going to squawk about it all day long, and I don't really care. But, like, Halo 4 was broken. Like, the mechanics of it, like, not, like, D-scope, sprint, different things like that was just, it was horrible. But I liked that fast pace of the game. You know, I liked a lot of things about it, but it wasn't what I wanted it to be. But Halo 5 felt more of a competitive game compared to what Halo 4 was. Like, it really did. Like, it felt, like, between Breakout and just Team Slayer in itself, it felt amazing. Like, and the map layouts were awesome, too. And the fact that they introduced Sprint in the way that they did, I felt was good. You know, like I said before, people can go back and forth on Sprint all day long. But I felt the way they did with the shields not regenerating and things like that. And not to mention Clamber. Mm-hmm. I think they did a really good job with, because Clamber was one of the things that I used a lot. And it was a mechanic that I honestly didn't see it working that well, especially Sprint. I didn't see it working at all. But after playing that and kind of feeling for it, Halo 5 is really – I'm pumped for Halo 5's launch.
Yeah, I had a lot of fun playing the Halo 5 beta. I liked the pace of the games. I liked the way most of the Spartan abilities – you know, played well with the maps and, you know, with just the overall gameplay. You know, they seemed to fit in. You know, they didn't seem to stand out like, you know, the armor abilities did.
Right.
You know, it's something that just kind of worked in, you know, a lot more naturally into your gameplay. You know, there's still times today, to this day in Halo 4, I don't even use my armor ability because I forget it's there.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, when me and Haas played a couple of games, Halo 4, granted, he wasn't necessarily thrilled by it, but I completely forgot. I was like, oh, we can sprint. It's like I'm so used to not having that slower pace from like Halo 3. Halo 2 seems a little bit faster than Halo 3, in my opinion, but...
Well, you know, I'm actually... The sprint, I tend to actually miss, because you know, sprint, it gets used a lot in Halo 4.
Oh yeah,
the different armor abilities, you know, the invis, the turret, the bubble shield, all, you know, or whatever it is, you know, the health regen, all that stuff. And most of the time, I forget it's there. I mean, really, the, you know, I'll use invis, you know, when I'm playing big team, you know, I'll use invis, you know, try to get the drop on a vehicle. You know, so I will use it more in big team, but big team's a lot slower pace.
Yeah.
But, you know, I just like the way the Spartan abilities integrated into the gameplay just almost seamlessly. It was intuitive that they were there. Because in Reach and in Halo 4 Thruster Pack and Evade, I never used them.
I used the heck out of Thruster Pack in Halo Reach.
Yeah.
No, I hated it.
Well, I mean, just my play style. They just never incorporated into my gameplay. I like the way that, you know, the thruster pack, the sprint, and the clamber, just, it was like I'd always been doing it.
Yeah.
You know, I picked it up and I integrated it into my play style, you know, within a game and a half. It merged right into my gameplay style without having to, you know, tell myself, oh, wait a minute, I can do this now. Yeah. You know, I have this ability. It just naturally... You know, once my hands learned the buttons,
yeah,
you know, it worked out.
Yeah, it was interesting how, like, at first, and I'll say it and admit it to it, but when I started playing Halo 5, I was, like, the like first 2 days, I was really disappointed because, like, I couldn't feel it. Like, I couldn't get the feel for it at all, you know, especially with the button layouts and things like that. But when I switched to Bumper Jumper and I really started paying attention to how things were working, it clicks so much better than any other Halo with me. Like, it really did. Like, I was getting perfection medals left and right. Like, just headshots were lining up perfectly. Everything felt good. It really did. Like, it felt awesome. And I rarely used Sprint. I used jetpacks and everything like that to, like, dodge grenades. But when I did use it, I didn't use it for that long because I had that mindset of, oh, well, if I keep on using this, I'm going to get slaughtered because I don't have any shields. Like, I like that idea. It makes me wonder, too, is how they're going to incorporate, like, overshield, invisibility, different things like that. in Halo 5, because would the sprint deteriorate the overshield a little bit more since you are sprinting? Or like, I wonder how that would work.
I mean, as far as them being in the game, I think they're just going to be pickups.
Mm.
Just like, you know, just like they were in Halo 2 and Halo 3. I think they're going to go back to that, you know, the power up system.
Right.
You know, I don't think it's going to be an equipment type option like it was in Reach and, well, in Halo 4. I guess, you know, if you count armor lock, that could kind of count as an overshield. But anyway, I do really think they're going to go back to a pickup system on that, you know, where it's on map. As far as, well, I mean, on the invisibility, you shouldn't be sprinting when you're invisible anyway, because I'm sure they're going to have the same type of invisibility system they have now, where, you know, the faster you move, the more visible you are.
Right, right.
You know, you want people to use the invisibility as stealth.
Yeah. It's interesting because stealth is something that I don't necessarily see myself being in Halo 5. I just don't. Like, I don't see, I'm out guns blazing, running around, or, you know, being out in the open trying to get things out. I don't see being invisible. So it'd be interesting to see who will thrive more that way. Like, say, for instance, you have a team like us four. You know, I'm more going out doing our thing. It'd be interesting to see who would pick up that overshield and use it effectively compared to people that don't use it at all. I would say it's more of a sniper thing, but if you're jumping up and trying to get those headshots, you're going to have that hover deal going on. So, like, I wonder if that would deteriorate it too, because you have the rockets or the flames and all that stuff, but I don't know. Halo.
I don't think any of your abilities are going to affect overshield. I think it's just going to be just like it always has been. It's been, you know, a timed thing,
you right.
know, which is accelerated by taking hits. I really don't think they need to change that. Yeah. As far as, you know, the invisibility, you know, that's something that really is, you know, effective for a sniper.
Yeah.
You know, he grabs the invisibility, gets to his perch, and, you know, gets, you know, two or three kills before it runs out.
Right.
I can't wait to see the finished stuff. I really hope they have it at RTX because I want to play it again.
Oh, I know. I want to play it so bad. And hopefully they have have pretty much to the closest build to what it's going to be like at launch. That way we actually have an idea of what we're going to be getting.
I think by that time they will be, when they're showcasing the multiplayer, they'll probably be showcasing a newer build. You know, I don't think they're going to be showing you the same beta that was, you know, that we did.
I certainly hope not.
Because they're going to want to show off what they're doing. You know, I have real high confidence they're going to be showing off, you know, maybe not the latest build, one of the newer builds.
Right, right, right. The only other thing that could possibly maybe not be RTX is Gamescom. So I don't know, like, if they're going to be split RTX or Gamescom. I know Gamescom is like one of the big Europe packs like things, so they may be.
It was bigger than E3 last year.
Apparently. Was it?
Yep. Oh. Yeah. It's like the E3.
Yeah, Gamescom is Europe's E3.
Yeah,
is probably the easiest way to compare it.
So probably not at RTX then. Probably likely at Gamescom.
I just hope that 343 has a presence there. You know, it's, you know, because there's a lot of Halo fans that go down there.
Yeah.
You know, it's not just, granted, the bulk of it is, you know, they're Rooster Teeth fans down there.
Yeah.
That go to it. There's still a sizable chunk of people that are Halo fans that go down there. And, you know, it's because of, you know, the Rooster Teeth's relationship with Halo. And, you know, in the past years, Halo has always had a, you know, a good presence at RTX. I just don't want to see, you know, Gamescom screw that for everybody.
No, we'll have to wait and find out. There's a couple other things I wanted to quickly mention before we wrap up. The first is, I think this was last week, but there's going to be a 10-inch Spartan Locke McFarlane figure, and you can read a little bit more about that on the Waypoint blog.
It's mine.
Mine?
So I'm so getting it. It's mine.
Mine?
Mine.
I don't remember what the Didact was. He's sitting right there. I can't remember.
Bio, we can't see you.
You can't?
Yeah, this is a podcast, not audio.
No. I'm touching. No, I'm saying, like, I see the Didact. I just don't remember how tall he was. I'm just making a reference. But, like, they did a really good job with the Didact. So I love McFarlane Toys, is that stuff that they put out. They put a lot of time into it. It's quality stuff.
Yeah, I would love to start collecting those things, but
there's a lot of them.
I live in a duplex, and I really don't want to move that stuff.
Yeah.
You know, after I get my own house and I have a room I can dedicate to it where I can put it on the shelf and, you know, the only thing I have to do is dust it occasionally, then I'll start collecting statues.
Yeah.
Yeah. So there's that one. And then the last thing is we're actually featured in the Griffball Hub comic. I've been on there.
Well, you
mentioned
are.
A few times. No, we are. Podtacular is.
But who are they talking to, Dust?
Me and Bio.
Where is Bio in there? Oh, okay. Never mind. Yeah. Fine. Sorry.
Yeah, we're the focus of a Griffball Hub comic this week. I've been mentioned, I think, two or three times before, but this is the first time like Podtacular has been like pretty distinctively prominent in the comic. So if you guys head on over to griffballhub.com and check out comic 128, you can check that out. And to kind of plug what was in the comic, they're doing their 254th episode this week. So check out the Griffball Hub cast and check out the Griffball Pro Circuit Championship in 2 weeks.
Do it.
Do it.
Do it now.
Do it. That wraps up the show for tonight, ladies and gentlemen. We will be back next week with another episode for our Hunt the Truth analysis and another episode covering the news. And I'm guessing by that time we'll have Hunt the Signal Transmission 2, Chapter 2, whatever that's going to be. So make sure you're around for that. We have a $10 code to give away. How should we give this away?
Trivia.
What kind of trivia do you have to throw at people?
I can think of a couple things.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. Of course, you're catching me on the spot now. But
hey, you gotta be ready for this. If you're gonna answer, you gotta be ready to provide, sir.
That's true.
If you're speaking up, you gotta be ready to act on it.
I'm just trying to think of what we were talking about tonight and make a question up from there. Let's see.
How about name three Spartan 2s that died after their augmentations?
Wow. Ooh. I don't even know the answer to that.
That's you could do that.
Would we have a way to verify?
Yeah, you got the list in front of you, Hoss? Because I don't think I've ever even seen those names.
We don't even know all the names. Yeah, I don't think so. I think that might be a little out of our league.
How many Spartan 2s did we... hold on. Let me rethink that. How many Spartan 3s have we encountered throughout the Halo games? Throughout all Halo games, let it be the Reach, ODST, all of them.
How many have we encountered?
How many we've encountered?
Yeah. Why? What's wrong with that?
That should be a pretty easy question.
Not to some people. That some people don't know the backstory to it, so... I mean,
granted, you said in the games, not in the lore.
Well, no, I'm saying like they don't know what Spartan. They know they're Spartans. They don't
name
know.
All of Noble Team.
Oh wow, Noble 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and 6.
Well, one of them. We'll give you one of them. One of them's Noble 6.
Yeah, that's the only one we'll give you.
Come on, this is easy.
Well, I just put a tweet out, so let people get in here for a minute. But I guess we could do that.
Hint, one got shot in the head.
The stupidest death ever.
I know, it was so pathetic. I laughed. I literally laughed. It was worse than Miranda Keith's death. I was pissed. It was worse than Miranda Keith's death.
Goose was pissed. Every time the topic of Reach comes up, or every time that something comes up around Kat, she is very open to voicing her opinion.
Don't be giving away the answers.
Yeah, thanks, Dust.
Everyone knew who I was talking about. The one person that would always drive you off the cliff.
I know another question that could be asked too.
Asked a question.
I know. I'm saying for next week.
So what are you going to ask? You're going to give people time to study?
No, I'm waiting. I'll tell you guys, and I'll tell it next week.
Well, people have already answered the question. We didn't even say that was going to be the question yet. So I think that's not going to happen. Here's a question. I will give this code to the person who most closely guesses the number that is correct.
Uh-huh.
What's Chief's birthday?
No. It will be... I guess not other people are joining. We have two people in the chat right now. One of these two people is going to win a $10 code. If you guys want to win a $10 Xbox code, make sure you come and listen to the live stream on Thursday nights, because we're giving away codes for $10 on Xbox. That's a good pack for DLC or some credit to some arcade games or some avatar items, that kind of stuff. So
I see five people in here.
Only two are in the chat.
Only two of them are talking, but there's five people in the chat. Laird's, not counting us.
Laird's answering the question on Twitter.
Okay. This is the question. In what episode did I pick up Podtacular?
742.
Wait, are we the Benjamin Button of podcasts? Are we going backwards?
No, what happens at zero? Nobody will know.
What podcast number did I pick up Podtacular? First person to answer. First person to answer. Closest. I'll take that back. I'll take the first answers from everybody, and people better not be going and searching on the site. And if you are, I'm going to cut this at 30 seconds. No one has answered within 30 seconds, then your staff, you cannot answer the question.
You did not. That was not in the disclaimer.
By being as part of the staff, you're automatically exempt from giveaways.
Wow.
Damn.
Wow. That's rude.
And there you go. He thought he was going to win the tournament, too.
Okay. I got one from Vision Plan. Got about 15 more seconds to put down guesses. That means by the time you're hearing me saying 15 seconds, you already answered anyways.
It's too late.
It's your cutoff time.
I changed my answer.
I said I'd only take the first answer from people. Hmm. Yes.
Haas is disqualified anyway, so it doesn't matter.
Exactly.
What if I cleared the chat?
I still see the chat, dude. Doesn't clear it for me.
Damn.
All right. Time is up. I see two answers. I see Vision Plan 205 and I see Penn's Halo 215. And come Laird put a date. I said what podcast number, not date. The correct answer was 162. So Vision Plan, you get this $10 Xbox Live code. Thanks for playing, everybody. Good try. You will hear similar kind of trivia at the Podtacular panel at RTX. And you'll also have a chance to win even more prizes there, too. I'm giving a big tease to what's going on at the panel at RTX right now.
Cool. I'm going to be in the crowd.
You will, actually. So,
yes.
But you're still exempt from winning.
But you still not qualified. Still not qualified.
I'm going to wear a mask. You won't know it's me.
I'm pretty sure we will, Haas.
I'll put it like this. Now that you say it, I'm going to be like, all right, you have to take your mask off to claim this prize to show that you're not someone that we know.
You won't recognize me because I'm going to look like Jesus. You can't tell Jesus no.
Dude, you're going to go on a plane and people are going to be looking at you like, what?
Because I'm going to be wearing a robe.
Okay, this podcast just went in a very wrong direction, so.
Sir, your robe is too short.
Oh.
Wait till I sit down.
Oh, my God.
I'm about ready to boot you from this call, sir.
Oh, my God.
So wrong. So wrong on so many levels. Oh, my gosh. I can't believe you just did that. Wow. All right.
It's hot.
Gosh. You can check us out on our social networks. We're on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, and Twitch. Make sure you check out the YouTube channel this weekend for the latest and greatest episode in Achieving Halo. This next one's going to be Halo CE Assault on the Control Room. So you have that one to look forward to this weekend. And make sure you check out our game night tomorrow. We will be hosting that 8:30 p.m. Eastern time. That's 5:30 p.m. Pacific time, with another chance to win another $10 Xbox code. So make sure you follow Godzilla T and follow the Podtacular Twitter, and we will let you know when that's going down. Hopefully Xbox Live is staying up that we can actually do that. So in the event that Xbox Live...
Yeah, it would be nice to actually be able to connect tomorrow.
In the event that Xbox Live is working for people and people are able to join, then you will have a chance to win one of these Xbox Live $10 codes, provided you participate in the game night. And this will be, of course, at Godzilla's discretion on who to give this to. So he will make up the rules, and I'm sure he will let you know tomorrow. So make sure you...
How am I going to torture these people?
So make sure you hit up the game night tomorrow. Make sure you hit up the podcast network. That is our conglomerate network of podcasts. Other great gaming podcasts like Guardian Radio, Critzcast, Work in Progress, How to Murder Time, and The Learning Cliff. If you're looking for other gaming podcasts just to fill your time, to fill your ear holes with other great gaming talk, then those are some good podcasts to go check out. It's a great network full of gaming podcasts, and they've been doing their podcasts for a while now. So, except for The Learning Cliff, they're actually fairly new. Check them out if you have time. Let them know that we sent you. And I think that is going to be it for now. We are still working on the tournament details. We haven't forgotten about that. It's just been slow rolled right now because of my stuff. But we are working to get that out the door and set here very, very soon. So, more details on that coming your way. And that's going to wrap it up for tonight. We will be back next week for the podcast on Wednesday for Hunt the Truth and on Thursday for our regularly scheduled show. The schedule might be a little bit different because I will actually be out in OKC next week for a business trip. So the timing of the recorded shows and the live streams will be a little bit different. We'll let you know on Facebook and Twitter of those time changes, so stay tuned to those. Keep on fragging Riftball Hub Comics.